get started. All right. Any questions before we jump into material? Pressing topics that you guys want to hear covered? Announcements? Put these in the wrong place. So the midterm will be available after class. We'll spend the last 5-10 minutes of class talking about how to access it and go over what's on the exam real quick. And then you'll have until the beginning of class Friday to work on it. Anything anybody wants to talk about prior to, like I said, during the exam, they'll allow questions, but you'll be somewhat constrained. If you hit a jackpot right now and ask me exactly what's on the exam, I can cover it. If you come to my office and ask me exactly what's on the exam, you'll need to phrase your questions more theoretically and fundamentally. No? Good. Everybody's confident? Feels like it's not going to be a problem? Lindsay, jumping's a quick down and then you come right back up. I like everybody ends up. Everything 99.9% of people come out of it the other end enjoying it and glad they did it. So we'll take that analogy. I may not take you up on that. Okay, we'll talk about it a little more at the end of class. If no questions, then we'll move on with our material. And we're talking about this AC circuit modeling. This is content beyond the midterm. So nothing from chapter 7 will be on the exam or in any sneaky way should be applied. Okay, so just be careful since we're moving in lecture beyond. Don't try to somehow shoehorn these things into the exam. It's just through the end of chapter 6. Okay. But what we've been talking about is now moving into closed loop control of converters. In order to do that, what we're trying to do is figure out if I want to design some controller in the S domain, what is my model of the plant? What does the transfer function for one of these converters look like from, for example, duty cycle to output voltage? If we have that, then we can use techniques developed in control courses that you guys have seen in signals and systems to stabilize the closed loop feedback system, control network. Okay. So the reason this is difficult is because power electronics as switching systems are fundamentally nonlinear and time varying. If I look at just the converter operating and I perturb my control input, the duty cycle, what I get out is a response at the output voltage at that modulation frequency plus a bunch of harmonics. This indicates the system's nonlinear. If it was linear, what I should see is just some gain in phase on the single frequency that I put in. The output, I should see that frequency amplified up or attenuated down and possibly phase shifted, but only that frequency. Because I'm switching and that's some sense asynchronous to my control input, I get all these harmonics and I need to get rid of them if I want to model just the effect of this frequency. So in order to do that, we're going to take two steps. We're going to average over a switching period, which will eliminate all this stuff, and then we're going to linearize, which is going to get rid of any nonlinearities. What we'll be left with is an LTI system. So we went over generalization of how we did our steady state modeling. Now we opened that up and said, we're going to approach this really in a similar way to how we did steady state modeling to get volt second and cap charge balance. The difference is we're not in steady state. So this term here, the difference between the inductor current at the beginning and end of the period, is not zero. It is the difference between the inductor current at the beginning and the end of the period. What we get out of that then is an equation where the average voltage on my inductor is L times the average, the derivative of the average current. And that's equal to something that looks a lot like our volt second balance equations before, but now we're explicitly averaging instead of only taking the DC component, because we want kind of our low frequency, everything down below the switching frequency. Okay. So this is the equation that we're going to use now to develop an equivalent circuit model to get this down into a linear model. This is still nonlinear. In this case, for this specific converter, which was a boost because of this last term, D prime of T times my average voltage at the output. Recall, when I'm sketching things in these angle brackets, they are functions of time. I just stopped writing of T on all of them. So that's the product of two time varying terms. That multiplication is nonlinear. In order to linearize this system, we are going to take our typical small signal linearization approach, find what we're calling our DC operating point, where the converter is operating, perturb slightly around that. In doing so, we can look at just the linear contribution of the converter behaviors and get a linear system. So went over two examples last time, either perturb and linearize or a first order Taylor series expansion. Two things completely equivalent mathematical ways to linearize these equations. Okay. Now, let's put all this together and see what our equivalent circuit looks like. So we've been working with this boost, and what we're going to do is follow kind of the steps so far and then eventually sketch our equivalent circuit out of this. So as a review, our steps so far were to solve equations for all voltages on, currents and capacitors, voltages and inductors, and input current if necessary. In our topology over one period. We're going to take those equations, we're going to apply our first kind of step towards making this thing tractable, which is this averaging step, an average over one switching period. Purpose of this is going to remove ripple. Which is switching frequency and above harmonics in the frequency domain. And what we're going to get out of that is a set of average, but almost always nonlinear in these switching converters. Equations. At this point, these things are nonlinear. They're useful. They describe the average behavior of the circuit. They can be easily used in simulation. Where a numerical solver, MATLAB, Simulink, LTSplice has no problem with nonlinear systems and multiplying those out and doing any sort of linearization for you numerically. But as far as hand calculations, working with nonlinear systems is difficult. So if we want to continue with hand calculations, we're going to take another step and we're going to linearize our equations. And it's a particular type, a small signal linearization. So we apply the second step. What we're going to get out of this is a set of averaged linear equations, which now will be nice to work with. Okay. And then depending on what we want to do with this, we can sketch an equivalent circuit model. We can plug in and solve things using these equations. Depends on our goal. Okay. So for the boost converter, if we do this, it's going to look very similar to old analysis that we've done for these first couple steps. So if we go through by subinterval and look at voltages on inductors and currents and capacitors, am I going to need to do the input current in the boost converter? Heard one hesitant no. No is the correct answer. Right, the input current isn't switching. The input current is the inductor current. That should be relatively smooth filtered. Okay, so we are only gonna need equation on inductor voltage and capacitor current. We'll be done. Okay. So in subinterval one, voltage on the inductor is VG of T, current in the capacitor is minus V of T over R. Subinterval two, switch, short the switch across, V sub L is equal to VG of T minus V of T. C is minus V of T over R plus IL of T. Okay, before any subinterval, I can write equations for in that subinterval, what are these things? And then I'm gonna combine them together and do my averaging step. I'm gonna average all of my time varying signals. What I'll get are equations on the average voltage on the inductor, which is now just L times the average current in the inductor, times di dt. And that's equal to, in this case, my average voltage, Vg, minus D prime of T times average output voltage. Average current in the capacitor will be equal to C times the derivative of the average output voltage. It's equal to minus average output voltage over R plus D prime of T average IL. Okay, I'm just gonna do without that line. Okay, so that gets me through here. Now I have a pair of averaged equations, but they are still nonlinear. In each case, I have one of these multiplications of two time varying signals terms. So in order to deal with this, I'm going to linearize both of them. The inductor voltage equation is the same one we linearized twice last time, using perturb and linearize and Taylor series expansion. So I'm just going to take this result. My small signal AC terms, the equation looked like this. Dg hat minus D prime V hat plus D hat V. So I've forgotten it already. DG hat minus D prime V hat plus V D hat. Okay, for my capacitor, the equation just copied from the previous slide here, averaged only is C D average V DT equal to minus average V over R plus D prime of T average IL. Any preference on how we go about linearizing this? You want to see Taylor series or perturb and linearize? Taylor series, okay. So Taylor series, I'm going to expand the first order. Taylor series is a bit nice, I can just neglect the DC term. So for a first order Taylor series expansion, I'd evaluate the whole thing at the operating point at DC. That'd give me my DC equation. I can just neglect that and look at the first derivatives with respect to all of the variables. What I'll get is C dV hat dt. It's going to be my AC equation. That's equal to, I've got three variables, V, D, and IL. I'm going to have V hat times something plus D hat times something plus IL hat times something, where what's in these parentheses is, in each case, the partial derivative of this expression with respect to the variable that I'm multiplying by, evaluated at DC. So this term, color here, is going to be, call this thing F. This is going to be the partial of F with respect to V, evaluated at my steady state DC bias operating point. So if I take that partial derivative, this term doesn't have V in it, that goes to zero. This term, minus 1 over R times V, my partial with respect to V is minus 1 over R. So this is going to be minus 1 over R. My d hat term, mind that d prime is 1 minus d. So as I take a partial with respect to d, what I'm going to get is negative, because this 1 minus d, il. And then I evaluate that at dc, it's going to be negative capital IL. My last one, IL hat, coefficient here is D prime. Evaluate that at the steady state operating point, capital D prime. Questions on that? Clear enough? Okay. So now I'm going to take these two equations. Which are now my outputs from this process. Now that I've linearized, what I have are averaged linearized equations. And I'm going to create an equivalent circuit model now for my average linearized converter. Okay, and this is going to look similar to what we've done before. This thing here is an equation that describes L di dt, which is some inductor voltage, is equal to some summation of different voltages. That looks like a KVL type equation, where I am summing voltages around a loop. This looks like a ddv dt is a capacitor current, is equal to some sum of currents. This looks like a KCL type equation. This is a summation of some number of currents at a node. Okay. If I take those and sketch the circuit that they are describing, this equation is L dIL hat dt equal to, just copying this equation onto this slide, I'm my other equation, C dV hat dt. Okay, then what do these equations look like as circuits? So this first one is going to tell me that L di dt, which is then describing the voltage on some inductor that has a current IL hat going through it. So that's that term on the left. And that voltage is equal to these three things. The VG hat, a VD hat, and then a minus C prime V hat. Okay, some new things here relative to before. This, now my inductor, it was kind of there before in our steady state analysis as this phantom inductor, where we knew it was part of this loop, because whenever we wrote the volt second balance equations, we knew the current in that loop was IL. But since the voltage on it was zero, it kind of went away and became a short, could neglect it. Okay, now the inductor's there. This term is maybe a little different. I sketched it here as just a voltage source, this VD hat. What is it? Well, it's some gain, this capital V. That's the DC operating point output voltage. That's fixed once we decide on a DC operating point. And it's multiplied by D hat. D hat is my small signal control perturbation, right? That's the small signal component of how I'm actually changing the duty cycle. So this is going to be the effect of our control. If I start changing the hat, changing my duty cycle, it's going to affect the system through this source. Okay. My next set of equations are describing a KCL on a capacitor C with a voltage V hat, and then a current going into it, C dV hat dt. Voltage across these nodes is V hat. So I can sketch this V hat over R term as just a resistance R. My D hat IL will be some source that looks like this. Again, something where my change in the duty cycle is affecting the system. It's going to sketch that as some current source. And then coming into it, I have D prime IL hat. Is now some gain times a signal somewhere else in my circuit. Okay, hopefully you all recognize this thing in the middle. This is, again, these linked sources. I've got the same coefficient, D primes. This voltage depends on the voltage over here. This current depends on the current over in this loop. So these two things are going to create a transformer. In this case, this is again just a mathematical concept transformer. This is not a real physical transformer, but it's no longer our DC transformer from before because it's only modeling our small signal AC terms. So instead of sketching this bar for DC, I'm going to sketch a little segment of the sine wave here. Let me know that this is just a small signal AC transformer. little curve tells me this isn't a real thing. It's just some results of my algebraic manipulation. It's going to follow the equations of a transformer, which is just these two linked sources, but it's not a real one. Okay. Turns ratio on this? D prime to 1. Good. And I already sketched it. Not inverting. Everything's matched. Okay. If I continue sketching this, let's just get the rest of the things in here. Now, BG hat. Here's my complete circuit. Other comments on this. So now I can go through and I can manipulate this and solve this using any of my standard circuit analysis techniques. I could do things like solve what is V hat when VG hat is varying. So if I have some amount of signal here, and I solve what the output voltage is under bias by VG hat, then I can divide that out and I can get a transfer function from VG hat to V hat. I can do the same thing with D hat to V hat. If I want to do my controlled output transfer function, then I say, let me solve for the output voltage as it is contributed to by these D hat sources. I've got two of them. This is now a linear circuit, so I can apply things like superposition. So if I just try to solve this whole thing, what I get is V hat is equal to some stuff times V hat and some stuff times VG hat. Because this is now linear though, I can apply superposition. Say if I want to know the controlled output transfer function, I can shut off this source, zero it, and then solve what the output voltage is with only D hat present, or the other way around, get the VG to V hat transfer function. Okay. That's a lot of chapter 8, which we'll do more of when we get there. At the moment, I'm going to do just a couple more examples of getting into these equivalent circuit models for different converters. Okay, this repeats it under the presupposition that my handwork was going to be sloppy. So there is a clarified version of this equivalent circuit for the boost converter. Okay, this is averaged linear, and this is modeling small signal dynamics. Okay, and that's the point we talked about for a second. This is based on the set of equations that we averaged to get. But we did this linearization, which neglected all of our bias terms, neglected our DC bias solution, and kept only these first order linearized dynamics. Okay. So what that means is that if I look at, for example, I'm modeling my 10 to 20 volt boost converter and I want to model the control dynamics. So I create this circuit. I set my DC bias point to be the solution to it from 10 to 20 volts at whatever power. And then I look in this circuit at the output voltage. The output voltage is zero before I apply any transient because this does not contain all of the DC bias solution. I've zeroed all of that out, and this only contains the AC terms around that DC bias. Okay. So, give an example, if I put in D hat was some small sinusoid, I can put it in zero center. What I get is V hat is some potentially phase shifted and amplified sinusoid at the same frequency. And I've evaluated this now with things like D prime at a DC bias operating point. So what this tells me about my circuit is that my real full output voltage would be whatever my DC bias is, capital V, plus my AC term, which is this thing that I solved from this circuit. But this circuit alone, this line makes it look like that's zero, this is zero. Circuit alone only has the AC part in it, okay? And I think the next thing here is an example to show that in simulation. Is that true? Yes, okay. Here, just to show this, I've run a few different simulations in LTSpice of the various models that we've talked about, okay? So this is just the full switching model, everything exactly as it would be in a physical system. We've got the real sets, gate driver, inductors, capacitors, it switches, gonna have full switching ripple, full switching dynamics, okay? This next one, I'm modeling the averaged equations of this boost converter, but I haven't yet linearized. I let them be nonlinear. As I mentioned before, circuit simulators have no problem with nonlinearities. They're fine with that. I can put in things like a source here that is inductor current times one minus some time varying duty cycle. And this will add every time step, multiply out the instantaneous values of those things and put it in nonlinear, but LTSpice doesn't care. Okay. The next one is my average model at DC, the thing we did through chapter 6, just modeling my losses. Then the last one is what we just developed on the previous slide, AC averaged and linearized model that now has these control sources. Okay. Look at these four models, run a simulation on them, apply some transient disturbance, step change in load. And I'm looking at, in all cases, the inductor current and the output voltage. So my full switching model, see inductor current on this axis, output voltage over here. Inductor current has a bunch of ripples. If I zoomed in, it'd have this triangular shaped ripple simulation. I've got the dynamics that respond to the transient, as well as all of my switching ripple in there. Okay. Same thing with output voltage, it's a little bit smaller, but there's still a bunch of ripple. Okay. My average nonlinear model, now my output voltage here, whatever I was running, it was at 47.5 volts. Here it's again at 47.5 volts. Still has the same dynamic in the output voltage and the inductor current, but it's gotten rid of all this ripple. Everything switching frequency and above has been averaged away. And I get just the exact same waveforms with no ripple. Okay. When I go to my DC average model, what I get is the correct voltage, 47.5-ish, but it has no response to any transient because it's my DC average model. It just sits at the DC operating point always. I have no idea how this circuit responds to any sort of transient condition with my DC model. Now my AC model that we just developed starts at 0 volts because I've removed the DC components from it. But as I apply this AC transient, I see the dynamic part of what I have in the full model. Okay. So I can see things like gain and phase from an input to an output, but I have to combine that back with the DC solution if I want the full waveforms. Okay. Again, this is part and parcel of linearization. Jump back here. Is that linearization, I'm looking only at the AC perturbation around this DC operating point, and small signal linearization, meaning it's only going to remain valid in a small area around this. I start making my signal come out here where the system is significantly nonlinear, then my linearized approximation is not going to match the real system. Okay. So, but for some small transient around DC bias operating point, this will correctly predict the dynamics. Okay. If we can get through buck boost, perhaps. So let's do the same thing for the buck boost. Another example. So I want to model this and develop an equivalent circuit model for the buck boost. First thing I'm going to do is sketch my or derive my averaged equations. Then I'll linearize and sketch my models. My averaged equations. Most of the techniques and kind of mental formula for deriving these are going to be real similar to what we did before. Only difference being instead of small ripple, getting rid of everything but DC, now we're just working with average signals. Hopefully at this point I can start just writing them directly. Average voltage on the inductor, L, times the derivative of the average current in it. For the buck boost converter, it's going to look like what? The first interval, I have the input voltage. In the second interval, the prime of T, I have the output voltage. Average currents in the capacitor. E times the time derivative of its voltage, not equal to zero. It's equal to, I'll have the minus V over R always. And then only during D prime, I'll get the negative of the inductor current. Put that here. Okay, am I done? Do my input current. In this case, it's switched. Input current is inductor current in interval 1, 0 in interval 2. So I know that that's going to lose my input port in my model. So I'll do my input port equation. Average input current. That's just equal to D of T times the average inductor current. Okay, now I take these three equations and I want to linearize them. Now that I have my average nonlinear equation, I want to linearize my first one. L dIL dt is equal to d of t average vg, just copying from the previous slide again. Of V. So I linearize this, go directly into the small signal, dIL hat dt equal to, you can do it this way, VG hat times something plus V hat times something plus D hat times something. Go through and evaluate our derivatives. Dg, only having that first term, the derivative is going to be d of t. Evaluate that at dc, that's capital D. V, I have only in the second term, work through the same way, and I get d prime. And then d hat, I have in both terms. From the first one, I'll get vg. Capital VG when evaluated at the DC bias point. And the second one, V, capital V evaluated at the DC bias point, and a negative sign, D prime of T is 1 minus D. I'll get the negative when I take that derivative. Okay. My second equation from the previous slide, my capacitor current equation. This. So I linearize this. Get me C dV hat dt equal to first term, I'll get minus D hat over R minus D prime IL hat plus IL D hat. Are you okay with that? Any errors? Not. My last equation, average IG is D of T times average IL. What I'm going to get out of this is just my average, well, as I linearize, I'm going to write this as my small signal input current. When I linearize and just take the AC term, and then the linearization process is going to be the same. D IL hat plus IL D hat, taking the derivatives of this term with respect to D and IL. Okay, now I take these three equations and I sketch my equivalent circuit model. What's that going to look like? Top one, I'll have my inductor in a voltage loop as the input times some duty cycle. That's going to link down here with the inductor current times some duty cycle to create a transformer. The turns ratio of D to 1. My V hat D prime is going to link with my D prime IL hat to create a D prime transformer. And then my IL D hat and my D hat times VG minus V are just going to be controlled sources. They're just going to show up as voltage and current sources exactly as they are. Okay. If I sketch that, then the first equation. VG hat is a current, IG hat looks like IG hat was D times IL hat plus IL D hat. So it'll give me an IL D hat. A D IL hat. Second equation for the inductor voltage will look like a DVG hat inductor current here IL hat. Going to have this source, which looks like D hat times VG minus V, and then my output link source, which was D prime V hat. And then my last equation for the capacitor current is going to look like my capacitor, load resistor, and then this controlled source. In this case, because of the polarity, injects back in LD hat. This thing should be a D prime IL hat. quickly so we can talk about the midterm. This is just sketching those three equations from the previous slide. One thing I did want to point out here, I have these two transformers. This one can be some AC transformer. The non-inverting AC turns ratio of 1 to D. This one, AC transformer, turns ratio of D prime to 1. And this one is inverting. And I can see that because, one, I sketched the source wrong. Excuse me. In my speed, I sketched this guy in the wrong polarity. I apologize for that. If I followed my equations here on this inductor equation, got no real negative terms, which means that everything should add in the positive direction. So all three of these sources should be, as I go around the loop, minus plus. So it should have been that polarity. Just for that. Okay, so buck boost. Makes sense. Even in the AC, we should get this inversion because it's an inverting converter. Okay. Questions on any of this? Okay. Then, let's talk briefly about the midterm. So, midterm exam is posted on the website. The password, all lowercase, the one, the hyphen. I'll email that out directly after class so that everybody has record of it. All lowercase, hyphen, here. Okay. So let you access it. There's different versions for 599 and 481. Come back. There we go. This is looking at the 599 version. So there's three problems. First one is essentially a weird looking converter, and you are to solve it. Expressions for at DC, the currents in inductors, voltages on capacitors, and then do the switch realization, where all four of these switches need to be. Maybe an ugly looking thing, but stick to the basics, apply the formula, don't get lost in, well, this thing is, what is it? It's more complex, actually a useful converter in some cases. 599 then also has a quick question about DCM limits on one of the inductors. 481 doesn't have to do that. Okay, from there, next one is an isolated CEPIC. Here, I ask you to sketch some waveforms with reverse recovery of the diode included, and then do an average equivalent model. This thing, the magnetizing inductance is part of the fundamental converter operation, much like the flyback, not like the forward. It is what was in the non-isolated CEPIC a real inductor. So it is used as energy storage. Okay. Again, what you're going to find as you go through this process, this thing has some more complications than maybe some of the things you've seen before, but there's no fundamental difference. So go through the process, get your equivalent circuit model, find your linked DC sources, connect them up as transformers. Okay, no fundamental difference. The way those transformers connect might be new to you, might not be something you've seen before, but it's still this source and this source depend on each other with the same turns ratio multiplier. Okay. Last one, the design problem. So in the design of a boost converter for an electric bicycle, this stems from 482. The specs are similar to what we do there with a couple changes to make it into a more of a problem. 482 is very open-ended. Need to constrain a little bit. So solve for, this is a little different between 482 and 599, a little more open-ended on the 599 exam, but solve for voltage ripple, DCM limits, then go through and calculate component stresses. And these are instantaneous component stresses, so nothing averaged, just what is the actual peak voltage this thing is ever going to see, including ripple and average value. Once you calculate those, the last part is to select some devices and design your converter. Seems long because I'm giving a lot of information and saying how I want you to do things. One thing I want to point out here is you start having to change around and, okay, you solve these things for the ideal converter and now you have to plug in devices and calculate losses. I'm saying explicitly in there, use what you already calculated. So if you calculated the RMS current for the ideal converter and then you want to put in a loss mechanism, just take that R and multiply it by the RMS for the ideal converter. You don't have to go through and do your DC equivalent and say, how does the current change because this loss mechanism is there? Duty cycle is a little bit different. Just use the ideal thing. Okay. And you'll go through, you've got some number of devices to choose from in 481. You just have two switching frequencies, calculate the losses. In 599, you choose the switching frequency that minimizes some metrics about the converter. Okay. Questions? Okay. That's available now, this password. That I'll email that out right after class, due Friday, 9:05. All right.